Hello everyone, welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce and this is the podcast, as always, for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about Conservative Party Conference, which as of recording is just closing up. We're just hearing from the Prime Minister now, so we're going to be talking about that with Ed and James, and also getting a live look at what it's like on the stand for the first time in a long time for ACS this year. So we'll be talking to Steve and Lydia in the Public Affairs team about that. But first of all, I want to talk about one of the events we've got coming up, less than 2 weeks away now, and that is our Heart of the Community Conference, another one of our physical events returning to London, and that's One Great George Street on the 18th of October, and we've got a great lineup of speakers ready to come and talk to you about the issues facing convenience stores. So Ben Page, Chief Executive of Ipsos Mori, we've got the Minister for Small Business, Paul Scully, MP, Philip Dunn, MP, Chair of the Commons Environmental Committee, Victoria Robertshaw, who you might remember from the Environmental podcast a little while ago, who's from Keelan Farm Shop. We've got Dean Holborn, award-winning retailer, of course. Nancy from the What Works Centre from Wellbeing, who you might have heard about when we talked about the Wellbeing Guide launch, and lots more besides. And another thing to bring up for Heart of the Community is the Raj Agarwal Trophy. This is the first time we are awarding the Raj Agarwal Trophy to a retailer who has been exceptional in their community. So get yourself along to Heart of the Community on the 18th of October and hear from the finalists for the Raj Agarwal Trophy and our great lineup of speakers, as well as a parliamentary reception where you can get in front of your MP and talk about the issues that matter to you. Okay, we're going live now to Party Conference and our stand at Party Conference. And manning the stand this week is Steve and Lydia in our Public Affairs team. Hi, Steve. Hi, Lydia. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, yeah, Chris. Loud and clear.
Excellent.
Morning.
So slightly different experiences for the both of you. Steve, I'll start with you first. This is not your first Party Conference, but your first conference on a stand. What's it been like over the last couple of days?
It's been good. It's been productive. And, you know, it's the first, say, post-pandemic party conference for the party in government. It's been pleasantly busy as well. It's been a steady stream of MPs and PCCs and other policymakers coming through to hear from us at the stand, which has been really great to see.
Great. And Lydia, this, if I'm right in saying, is your first party conference experience, I guess, thrown in at the deep end with a stand as well and being one of the guests, the epicentre of conference itself. What stood out to you and is this party conference kind of what you expected or is it a bit different?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Chris. It's been really exciting, actually, to be at my first party conference and on the stand as well. It's an opportunity. It's the first time ACS has done it, so really excited to be a part of that. I attended Labour Party conference last week, but it's obviously been 2 days of Conservative conference, which has been really great. In terms of what stood out to me, sort of the conversations you're able to have in person, which has been really different to what we've had over the last 18 months. Obviously, those conversations have been going, but there's nothing better than having a conversation in real life. And I think that, you know, MPs and policymakers have really been taking the time to talk with us. I was kind of expecting it to be a quick 2-minute chat, but in lots of cases, even this morning, we spoke with MPs 10 minutes, which has been really great to have that face time. And I don't think that I expected that, and that's really stood out to me.
Yeah, that's great. I guess that's that's the value of having somewhere to be instead of just being what we've done in the past, I guess, which is sort of wandering around and trying to catch people as they're going to and from things. But having a set place is really interesting. Steve, what are the messages that we've been putting out throughout the week at conference? Because from what I understand, it's been changing each day based on what the Conservatives have been looking at themselves.
Yes, we've been mirroring what's been going on in the auditorium in terms of different speeches and things. So, for example, yesterday we had a focus on responsible retailing and the work we do in terms of the obesity proposals out there at the moment and community alcohol partnerships. But we've also been talking a lot about investment and jobs on the Monday when we had the Chancellor's speech, and that was to do with the business rate system, and we spoke about how with quite a lot of people about how that could be amended to incentivise investment, but also how we support retailers to keep providing good quality jobs within their stores and creating new ones as well. But we've covered quite a lot of policy ground over the last few days for sure.
And Lydia mentioned that the MPs and policymakers are taking time to have a chat on the stand and to spend the time listening about the issues. How receptive have MPs been, Steve, about our key messages and what we're trying to get across about what local shops need?
I think there's to say there's been most MPs that have come over have looked for a proper detailed debate, I suppose, or discussion rather, about what it is that can support the local shop to keep delivering essential groceries and services within the communities that they represent. One thing that has hit home, I think, and has been during this conference, is there's a real recognition amongst MPs about the role that local shops play during the pandemic. And in terms of entrepreneurialism, I think there's a recognition that the government wants to support entrepreneurial businesses, especially those that operate in all types of communities, like we do as a convenience sector in all parts of the country.
Yeah, no, that's great. And Lydia, I'll finish off with you because I appreciate you're both very busy on the stand and MPs could be coming across at any point. Obviously, there's been a lot of engagement this week. If you've kept up with our social media, you'll see all the photos of MPs with various members of the team on the stand. What's next in terms of making the most of that engagement and keeping the messages coming across to those MPs?
Yeah, great. So I think we have a long list of people to follow up with, whether it be policymakers, peace and crime commissioners, MPs included, but also several other people who come to the stand with real interest for local shops and what we do. So I think we're going to take back some information on sort of what we've been discussing. We're going to do a bit of word analysis and sort of see the common themes that have come up and look how we can action that. But just following up with those people and making sure we provide them with the briefings and information that they were sort of talking about on the stand to really hit home and get those messages across that we've been trying to communicate and communicate quite well throughout our time at the party conference. So yeah, a bit of word analysis and lots of following up and then sort of deciding amongst the team plans for next year.
Great, and we'll look forward to that. And of course, one of the things that we have been starting up again is our store visits program, and I would expect to see MPs coming into stores probably educated a bit better about what those stores face based on conversations that you guys have had at party conference. Steve, Lydia, I will let you get back to the stand and have some more conversations with MPs today ahead of the big speech by the Prime Minister. But thank you for taking the time out to join me on the podcast.
Thanks, Chris.
We're now going to talk about party conference a bit more in a bit more detail and take a step back and have a think about why we're doing this year. And to do this, I'm joined by Ed and James, who are both at party conference this year, both manning the stand and talking to MPs throughout the week. Welcome to the podcast, both of you.
Hi.
So Ed, I'll start with you. This is the first time, certainly, that I've been here. James will be able to tell us if it's the first time ever that we've had a party conference stand.
Correct. And lots of things at party conferences, fringe events, and obviously just having a presence there. But yeah, in terms of actual stand in the exhibition, the first time.
So first time for a stand at party conference, it is a big deal. It is a big investment. Talk about the rationale for why we've made this choice to really make a stand and have a stand at a party conference this year.
Yeah, so as James said, we've done lots of things at party conference in the past, but we thought this time it was really important to invest because of where we are in the political cycle and also some of the conversations we haven't had a chance to have over the last 18 months or so. We sort of forget that we had a new government in December 2019. There wasn't a huge opportunity to engage with some of that new intake, and there's a big new intake to talk to. But also in terms of the political cycle, we really reached the point where the government is almost trying to do a bit of a reset from going from managing a crisis to setting out its agenda, its economic agenda going forward. So we thought this is a good opportunity to get out there in front of people and talk about the issues that are important to us and what we've done over the past 18 months to support communities. And I certainly picked up a lot of recognition of the sector, and it was a great opportunity to have lots of conversations about the issues that are important to us. So business rates, for example, and the importance of the reforms that we're hopefully going to see in the budget, acknowledging some of the challenges we faced during the pandemic, violence and abuse against shop workers, and then picking up on these new policy issues and the government's new agenda going forward. So it seemed like a timely moment to invest and engage, and I think we've got a lot of value out of it and a lot to take away, which hopefully we'll explore a bit more now.
Yeah, and one of the frustrations that I think we had and retailers had during the pandemic was that when there was talk about the people keeping communities going, they talked about supermarkets as a proxy for retail. Do you think that's being dealt with now, and the government have more of an appreciation of the local shops that are in every one of their constituencies that are making a difference?
Yeah, I do. I really picked up on that at conference. It really bothers us, I think, a little bit around not getting that acknowledgement for what we're doing. But actually, when I spoke to MPs that were coming up to the stand, they really acknowledged that we were the ones that carried their communities through, and they got it. And I was really pleased with that. And they certainly reflected that in the conversations throughout. So I think that's really, really positive. And it's something for us to continue to pick up on. And there's a lot of ways that we can demonstrate that, not least in the way we're really agile in our response to these things. So 600,000 deliveries per week during that period of time was a huge accolade, and something we'll pick up on as an industry going forward.
Yeah, great. And from what it sounds like, the conversations with Steve and Lydia earlier, very receptive, having longer conversations, really, you know, really good engagement that will take us through into next year and beyond for the rest of this term.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that they're certainly thirsty for ideas around how we're going to grow and how we deliver services in communities close to where people live. And I think we, as a sector, are right at the heart of what this government's thinking around levelling up, delivering for communities, particularly those essential services. So, yeah, right in the mix.
Yeah. James, you've been to too many party conferences in your time. Well, perhaps not too many, maybe not enough. We'll have to see. How is it different having a stand, being a focal point? And if you were selling something on the stand, what would you be selling?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, firstly, how is it different having a stand? I mean, everyone knows how to find you, which sometimes isn't a good thing, but actually it was this time very much. So, you know, we had lots of, actually a lot of other organisations and other retailers and other suppliers as well. So it's not just the politicians, it's the people who are also there doing the kind of jobs that we're doing. And that's actually really useful. Great to see some people face to face who we haven't seen face to face for a very long time, both in that community but also among government. It was great, for example, Paul Scully, the retail minister, who I've had dozens of meetings with online over the last 18 months. I've actually seen him for longer than that, so it's great to just have a quick catch up and congratulate someone on competing in the London Marathon on Sunday, which he did. So,
and Paul Scully, of course, who will be addressing the reception,
and he'll be there next week, so it all comes around. So he's back there on the 18th of October doing that as well. So that's great. Yeah, so that was all that was really good. Now, what are we selling? It's a really interesting question. I suppose we're selling a narrative about our sector. We're selling that message about why we're important. And as Ed said, the really good news was we kind of didn't have to sell very hard. You know, I was really struck. I mean, some people were just coming up and saying, thank you. You know, can you thank your members for what they've done? You know, and come up with examples and be able to sort of share examples of what has happened over the last 18 months. And it's all very, very sort of positive. The narrative is about reach into communities, and we'll probably talk about levelling up in a moment. Mm-hmm. So why we're relevant to that agenda, that's a really important thing. The jobs we provide, the way we are engines of economic growth, the community role that we provide, and really talking about that through some of the policy issues that we're facing. So we're talking about, and actually a really positive thing was how the things we were talking about really matched what people wanted to talk about.
Sure.
You know, they were raising the issues that were on our agenda rather than just the other way around. So high streets, including rates, crime, everyone very interested in that. Not many people started by talking about high fat and salt sugar regulations. Many of them were quite surprised when we told them about some of the restrictions that our members will have to face in a year's time in terms of where they can put products in store. So Raising a bit of awareness about some of those issues was quite useful as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we saw a lot of the obesity strategy media focusing on online and advertising bans, when actually a lot of the impact, as Ed and the team have been explaining, is on stores, and that will really come to the fore in the next sort of 12 to 18 months when we start seeing exactly how these stores are going to have to change.
Yeah, and that's something that really went down on the stand in terms of, you know, reflecting the impact and some of the imagery we had on the stand, including some of those products that would have been impacted and the sort of vicinity to where you can put them and can't put them. And I think when people see it and visualise it, it has a real impact in terms of what retailers have got ahead of them to manage. So we managed to get that message across.
And there was perhaps a fortuitous coincidence that the size of the stand itself basically matches the exclusion zone, right?
So yes.
Did that come up at all during the conversations?
That did come up at all. And of course, it, in the vicinity to the till, so we had a full mock-up stand of a shop at the conference. So we were really able to explain the mechanics of these regulations, and I think there was some genuine surprise around, you know, how that's going to work and how retailers are going to deliver that.
Yeah, and if you're not sure about what that exclusion zone looks like, have a look on our Twitter feed, because we've got pictures of the stand, and that'll give you a really good sense of how far away from, you know, the door or whatever it might be that you can't put these products. James, you mentioned levelling up as something that we would get to, and it seems like that was one of the most common conversations at conference. Did you get a sense of a proper answer about what levelling up means? And I'll start with generally as a concept, but then also for our sector, and what does levelling up mean for convenience?
No. I mean, I think this was the exam question of conference. You know, every fringe you went to, every sort of event and every conversation were people trying to define levelling up and increasing these sort of wordsmithed phrases to try to sort of encapsulate everything they thought it meant. And it is one of those phrases that can mean kind of anything you want. I'm... Such as we do know what it means, people like Neil O'Brien is a key person now in Michael Gove's department, which is the housing department that we've dealt with on many high street issues in the past. And he's talking particularly in terms of devolution. You know, it's about more powers for areas, you know, the ability empowering areas to take control and make decisions about their places is a really key part of that. That's fine. I don't think we've got against devolution and more powers for local people. But I worry about anything which is at a regional level or even a city level, because we know where convenience stores trade. We are the ultimate hyper-local sector. So it concerns me that there's this idea about we sort of give the problem to a region and they go and solve it. I think what we were talking about, what we talk about always, what we're really talking about the last few days, and I found myself having a lot of conversations about this, is that if you really want to level up down to a really hyper-local, granular level, the way you need to do that is by supporting parades, supporting the shops and the businesses that serve villages and housing estates, and that's us. Now, that's absolutely what we do. And I think that, why does that matter? Well, for local people, what actually matters to your quality of life, and obviously it's lots of different things for different people, but the state of your local parade, the availability of good local shopping, how well invested that is, or your local high street, that really, really matters. That has a huge impact to you. And there are other things as well. Maybe how close you are to a John Lewis or to another big department store might matter as well. And whether that's 25 minutes or an hour and a half might make a difference to your quality of life. But actually, the parade and the services you're using close to where you live, really close to where you live, will have a much bigger impact actually day to day on your life. So that was a message I think went down really, really well. People talk about high streets a lot.
Yeah.
But it's trying to explain that high street, while of course we care about high streets, not least because 10,000 convenience stores trade on them, but also that the whole debate about high street does capture some of the things we want to talk about. But the type of locations we're often talking about actually is much smaller than high streets. And I think more important, so all the investments we make in those areas, that spreads investment out right across the country. And I think that's the right approach for the government to be taking.
Yeah. And it's interesting hearing the different speeches from conference, because there's talk of, you know, positive things, levelling up, investment, spending money. But then on the other side, there's a talk of, you know, the debt being very high, government needing to raise money. And I just want to bring this from the Chancellor from his speech on Tuesday, I believe.
I have to be blunt with you. Our recovery comes with a cost. Our national debt is almost 100% of GDP. So we need to fix our public finances.
So that's interesting. That's a slightly more negative message. How do we bring those two things together? And some of the things we're asking for, we put our budget submission in recently, asking for small business rate relief, for more small businesses, asking for essentially tax reform, tax breaks. How well does those messages go down when we're talking about, you know, an economy that needs essentially higher taxation?
Yeah, on the also the fiscal, there's a very acute fiscal challenge facing the country right now, for sure. I think it is actually a really consistent message. I think the message is about you need to incentivize and support investment. It's going to be the thing that completes that circle, if you like, or makes this make sense, is when businesses are going to be investing in creating jobs, creating good work jobs, improving services, and employing people not just in the business but to work on and improve the business and to buy services, investing in technology. That's what's going to drive the economy out of this particular position we're in. So I think it is actually completely consistent, and I think we've got a really positive message, not just about the community part that we provide, which we talked about a lot, and we often go to talk about that, and of course why wouldn't we, because it's such a great story. But I think we should just be very, very bullish about our role as economic drivers in this economy, and I think we're going to be even more important in that role than we have been before.
Mm-hmm. And James, you mentioned jobs there. Ed, there wasn't anything in the speech, but there was some media trail this morning about the Prime Minister announcing in a few weeks an increase to the national living wage, a more than 5% increase. How does that tally with what James was saying about investment, about jobs? How much of that is under threat if we have, you know, more than one 5% plus increase in living wages, if there's a race to increase that as much as possible during this term of this government?
Sure. So I think, you know, the government, one of the key messages that came out of the Prime Minister's speech was about a high wage economy going forward. And I think to reinforce that message, they've actually jumped on and piggybacked on the scheduled announcement around national living wage that was coming forward anyway. And they already have very clear policy in place that they want to increase wages, national living wage, by up to 2/3 of median earnings by 2024. So that's really what they're sort of capturing. And that is scheduled to currently be a 5.7% increase anyway this year. So it would take us up to the £9.42 projected by the Low Pay Commission, which independently analysed that. Now, there is a balance to be struck here, because obviously people want to go to a higher wage, higher growth economy, but at the same time, that has an impact on jobs and the ability to employ people. And that's got to go alongside what James was talking about around how we get businesses to invest, to be more productive, to deliver those kinds of jobs as well. So it's got to go hand in hand. And I think the Chancellor's got a tough job at the upcoming budget, to both in the spending review manage sort of fiscal confidence and certainty alongside with how you deliver growth in the economy and transition us across to a higher wage economy, which they want to move to.
It's interesting you mentioned productivity there, because productivity has been a big buzzword over the last few years. To an extent, it's a little bit like levelling up in that it means whatever you want it to mean. What does productivity mean for a convenience store retailer facing higher wage costs?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question. So the direct answer to your question, Chris, I think, is it's about investing in technology and investing in adding value to the business in a way that means that every hour that's worked in that business, whether it's a paid hour from someone you're employing or your own time, is more valuable, and that creates more value for the business and for the economy. The problem I've always had with the conversation about productivity, and it comes up a lot in our conversations with government, is that if you're a business, you want to do that anyway. Yeah, there's plenty of incentive for you to become more productive as a business. That's how you get richer. That's how you become more effective as a business. So, you know, I sort of always worry about government schemes that relate to productivity. I think it's about creating the conditions. And I think that comes back to the points that we were all making about investment. How do you promote investment? So that, and taking out the abstract, because that can sound a bit, we talk about productivity and investment, can sound a bit abstract. It's trying to make it more advantageous for you and help you to then invest in those solar panels, that self-service checkout, that new food to go count or whatever it might be, all of which may grow efficiency, effectiveness and productivity. That's kind of what it's about. And I think it's that if, you know, policy which is based around that. And the great thing is, if we can get those things happening in our sector and those incentives working in our sector, that doesn't just happen in the City of London. It doesn't even just happen out in the regions. It happens in every community. There is no business sector in the country with the reach that we have into communities. So those benefits reach every part of the country. And that's the really exciting thing if we can get policies at work in that space.
Yeah. I just want to pivot now to something that wasn't mentioned in the speech, and that we could go anywhere really with this. If you're a fan of 18th,
quite a lot wasn't in there.
Yeah, if you're a fan of 18th century literature, you're fine. But otherwise, you're probably struggling to look for some substance in the Prime Minister's speech. One thing that was very clearly not mentioned, and not really mentioned through the week from what we're saying, is the current supply chain issues. Right now, it's about fuel. It has been about food. For the issue about livestock. All kinds of things happening around, specifically around HGV drivers. Is there a sense that the government's just basically saying, well, it's going to sort itself out and it's up to you?
Yeah, I think to a very large extent. I mean, it's interesting that they did eventually move on the visas for HGV drivers. So, you know, there may be other things like that. I mean, the evidence initially is that probably that scheme isn't particularly hit the road running yet, has it? So we'll have to see how that plays out. So that they may do things. They may bring in some mitigating measures as time goes on, and particularly as we get closer to Christmas. And if people feel there's more disruption there, then the government might want to bring in some sort of measures. I note they often bring these measures quite late, you know, and if incidentally, you know, as we all know in our sector, planning for Christmas in our sector is done now, isn't it? I mean, it's this been going back a while, so, you know, these measures might come in too late. But no one was talking about it. No one wants to talk about these issues at the Conservative Party conferences. It's like, you know, not a conversation. We turned up with all sort of lines about what's the situation in terms of supply, whether it's food or fuel, how do we give a briefing on that? And we never really got the chance to talk about that.
No, which was very strange, because we spent quite a lot of our time in the lead up to this talking into government around this and sharing information and data into the departments, Department for Business around fuel, Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs around food. And that information has been really well received. And I sort of urge everyone to keep sharing that information. Tell us what's happening on the ground so we can keep sharing that back. Because if we do need action, then we need the evidence to back it up to get the support in there. And it is well received, and this isn't going away quickly, so we still need to keep focusing on it.
So with this issue specifically being, as I said earlier, you know, businesses basically sort it out yourselves. When we look more generally at the direction of travel policy affecting convenience stores, local shops in the future, based on what you've heard this week, based on conversations around conference, do you get a sense that there is that motivation to just sort of let local shops get on with it, or do you think there are more interventions coming?
I think, you know, we know that there's some things that will be addressed at the budget that are important to us that we were talking about. So business rates, for one, we've been working on it for so long. We know that we're coming to the end of the business rates review. So I think there will be something substantive in there from the Chancellor around changes to the rate system, and a focus probably around small business rates relief as well, which is going to be key. I think in the other areas, we've still got to keep making the case around how they support investment and the different ways that they can do that. But, you know, ultimately, conference was quite light on policy from across the board, and there weren't that many things that they gave away that indicate new areas and direction. It was very much around narrative. It was very much something that was talking to the electorate in a way that looks forward, I think, to 2024, more than that looks around practical policy elements at this point in time. So it's hard to give a steer on what the conversation at conference leads into the announcement of the budget, I think, at this stage.
It was a strange one, wasn't it? Because it felt, to an extent, like a conference immediately after an election.
Yeah, it didn't. And to some extent, of course, it kind of is for those people, because a lot of people elected in 2019 or have got, you know, more involved. A lot of people join parties in the run-up to elections and immediately after elections and sort of get more involved. Quite a young profile of people, I would say, that we were speaking to their activists at a local level. And so, obviously, there was no conference last year. So this is, for many of them, kind of their first one. And it is, I think, it was a little bit of that. We're together and we can celebrate our election success. But obviously, that feels like a very, very long time ago now. A lot of water under the bridge since then. And of course, in terms of, you know, I'm afraid, I don't think they are leaving local shops alone. I sort of kind of wish they would. But I mean, look at what we already know is coming down the line. We've got high-fat, salt-sugar regulations coming from next October. We talked about those with subject of other podcasts in the future and other ASS communications going forward as well. We've got an increase in national living wage. That's a real challenge for our sector. We don't have a new employment bill that would codify good work much more effectively. So I fear we get this twin track of increasing the high statutory minimum wages and maybe higher wages generally, but then an economy, a labour market that operates outside of that gig economy. And I think that's a real worry, that they're leaving that back door open, if you like, to bad working practices in the sector. We know we've got deposit return schemes coming in, which may bring some advantages, but we know presents a lot of challenges for retailers, for certain. And we've got these supply issues coming through. So a lot of challenges, really. And I think while we come away feeling sort of pretty positive about the conversations we've had, it's also true that, you know, we'll be... The government are presenting us with some challenges now, set to some challenges moving forward, and you know, I think could be a bumpy ride as we come out of the pandemic.
And so, looking ahead now to the budget, a few weeks' time, James, you got the chance to meet and greet with the Chancellor during party conference. You got the chance to grab him and have a few words. What were those few words? And if they were too few, what would the other words be now?
Yeah, I mean, the message to the Chancellor, I suppose, is to make progress. It's a step forward in terms of business rates. You know, Ed alluded to it there, which is we've been talking about business rates for a very long time. And again, we get into these semantics about what constitutes a formal review. And actually, it was Steve, who we heard from earlier, I think joined ACS 6 years ago, pretty much to the week, and was saying the first thing he did, dealt with, was around the frequency of revaluations in the business rate system. Mm-hmm. And we're still sort of dribbling through that process, talking about those sort of relatively technical issues. And the government promised a fundamental review. They've promised progress. We now need to see that. And then the second thing, which I'd like to have said, would have been that policy and other policies have got to be laser focused on what will improve investment, what will incentivize and support private sector investment, because that is the only way that I can see, stepping aside the job I do, that's the only way I can see as someone who lives in this country and, you know, as a British citizen, the way that our economy is going to improve out of this. It's going to have to be about incentivizing private sector investment, and I think our sector is a prime candidate for support and for being part of that growth.
Great. Yeah, no, it's a very strong message. Ed, I'll finish up with you. We had a lot of messages with MPs ourselves. Retailers will be looking at both at Heart of the Community, at the reception, and in the future when MPs are coming into stores, looking at giving their own messages. How important is it that they talk about things like crime, things like business rates? What are the things that if an MP comes into the store tomorrow, obviously every store will be slightly different, but there's some common ground. What are the things that really need to be raised right now?
So I think reinforcing the points around investment and how they're investing and changing their businesses and how they do that and what that actually means. And that probably means smaller investments that they're making in the store that are essential to their community and that they have to do quite quickly to adapt to that need. And that needs to reflect across all the policy that government makes. It's not just about business rates. It's probably also around planning. It's also around tax policy, like the Chancellor's super deduction policy, to make it easier to invest and make it cheaper to invest for those businesses. So it's really showing them how they invest and the types of investments they make and really make it real. That's the benefit of having someone in the store, is you get to really make it real of like, I'm buying this to deliver this for my community. So I think that's a key thing. I think the other key thing which you picked up on there is this challenge we have around violence and abuse and crime in communities. And it's very clear to me that the top of the agenda in this conference was around crime as well. It's something that communities will measure levelling up on, I think, when they come around again. And I think the local shop really demonstrates the challenges that people face and why we need more investment in police and better investment in the justice system to tackle some of those issues, because those offenders are known to the local shop, they're known to the community, but yet they cycle around and they cause more problems. So I think making those two real issues live for those parliamentarians and other policymakers would be really important. And of course, we'll do that centrally as well.
Certainly, the conversations I was having about high streets, about parades, it's not just about well-invested, nice-looking parades. It's about safe parades, safe places where people live. And actually, the high streets / parades and crime and safety issues were absolutely hand in glove in terms of the conversations that I was having there. And I think it's really important that there was a lot of interest in viewing safety and viewing crime policy from the point of view of small shops and the places we trade. That was really encouraging, albeit obviously it's an incredibly challenging issue.
And of course, point four of levelling up is local pride and the visibility of a parade or a high street is a reflection of pride. It is a bellwether of how people feel about their communities. So I think that's going to be key.
Yeah, really important point to finish on there. And of course, this is a lot of the points about violence and abuse are related to the ShopKind campaign that we've been running throughout the year. If you probably have seen them everywhere. If you don't have materials for ShopKind yet, you can get them on our website and get involved with the campaign there. James, Ed, thanks for taking us through everything about past conference, about the general direction. And I think the next time we're going to pick up on these topics, certainly in a public forum, is Heart of the Community. So look forward to seeing both of you and hopefully you listening at Heart of the Community on the 18th of October. That's it for this episode of the Local Shop Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast for the latest episodes. Get episodes first by subscribing and follow us on social media at Local Shop Pod.